Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the job.
Welcome back to the Crab Feast, y'all. Another Tuesday.
Another Crab Feast without an ass. That felt like an air raid siren. That felt good and strong.
It was nice. I felt good.
Good to touch your pitch,
Sickles. Great to be here. As always, Feaster Nation, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy for all your social media needs. Usually I paste all my in-town dates over through Twitter. I feel like I should do Instagram, but I feel like I don't want to like hit people with like four things a day. I think that's so annoying. So hop on Twitter to check anything out. And then in the last week of April, I'll be at Laugh Boston in Boston, Massachusetts. Get on over there and come out. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I know some of you are asking because you're already getting tickets, which I appreciate. It is five shows over three nights, and I can't wait to be back in Red Sox Nation. Feast of Nation and Red Sox Nation. You know what I'm saying, Blake. And everyone, you can at jlarsoncomedy.com. My special's over there. Those of you that have purchased it, I love you to death. And if you haven't, stop on over and give it a look. I'd really appreciate it. Sickle Cell.
Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. I'm going to just give you this announcement now. You're going to hear this probably for the next couple of months. I'm going to be saying this on the show. We are taking a survey of our listeners, and we'd like you to participate. It'll help us learn more about you. So no matter how long you've been a listener or how frequently you listen to this show, please take a few minutes and visit our website at thecrabfeast.com. You'll find the listener survey link right on the homepage at the top right. You can complete the survey anonymously. It'll help us get to know more about you. For all the things we have coming up, we can tailor it a little better. Also, want to let you guys know, we're on Spotify, man. The Crab Feast is now available on Spotify. Spotify is making it easy for you to stream this podcast and many others like it on your mobile device, desktop app, and smart speaker. Open the app on mobile or desktop, click on the browse channel, and then click on the podcast section. Take us with you wherever you go, thanks to Spotify. The Spotify link is on thecrabfeast.com. Get your merch. And make sure you guys are following us on Facebook and Twitter. Another great sponsor this week, eHarmony is back. And if you're trying online dating, chances are you've run into lazy text messages, dead-end conversations, and random matches that don't turn into dates. You can't get to know someone just by looking at their picture. I have a good friend named Cooper. What's up, Coop? Cooper, I got him on eHarmony. His mom is stoked, by the way. She thinks eHarmony is the reputable one of all of them, and she's right. She's stoked to be on that her son's on eHarmony. She's very excited for him. And I got to tell you, he is doing well. Doesn't hurt that he's a good-looking dude, but he is absolutely doing well already. eHarmony is unlike many other online dating sites. eHarmony takes steps that other dating sites don't in order to find you a more compatible match. They're built to help you find lasting, meaningful relationships. I have a few friends of mine, couples that have met on eHarmony, and they've been happily married for years and years. Not a shallow hookup site. They've helped over a million people find their perfect match. eHarmony uses years and years of science data and psychological research to send you the right matches. They bring compatible people together. There are plenty of hookup sites out there. That is not what they are. Right now, our listeners can get a free month with eHarmony when you sign up for a three-month subscription. Enter our code CRAB at checkout. Stop waiting and start your journey to a satisfying, meaningful relationship. It can be fun to play around with online dating apps, but when you're really ready to fall in love with someone and have a meaningful relationship, there's one app that's built to bring you real love, eHarmony. Come see how eHarmony can change your life. Go to eHarmony.com and get started. Enter our code CRAB at checkout.
One thing you can check out right here is this week's guest. We're excited to have him on. We've known him for a long time. First time on the Crab Feast. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Eli
Ellsberg.
Eli Ellsberg.
Welcome to the Crab Feast.
Welcome to the Crab Feast.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So happy to be here. So good to see everybody. Wow. I mean, great turnout.
In-house.
Yeah, great to have you here.
I always wanted to see two friends on a white wall. It's a dream audience.
In a white wall.
We should actually just pull it out of the wall and turn you around, but you're seated now. And comfy,
yeah, it's a good spot for you.
No, I'm good.
We don't want you getting distracted.
Yeah.
Not at all.
The action's here anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I do get distracted easily, so this is actually the blank canvas is perfect.
Well, we've both known you for a long time.
Long time.
And then recently I was in San Diego doing the Whistle Stop Bar, and they were like, oh yeah, Eli Ellsberg's going to be doing the show. I'm like, oh, that's great. And you fucking murdered. And I was like, Jesus, I haven't seen Eli in a minute.
Thanks,
what I mean?
Man,
because
you.
I feel like the most I see you is at Pleasure Chest.
Yeah, the Pleasure Chest.
And you're
still
like,
do Pleasure Chest?
I do, yeah. It's monthly. Yeah, okay. Yeah. We're next month's the 7-year anniversary.
Damn, I was going to ask you how long. I know it's been going a long time.
But like, you know, I know there you work on stuff and you host a lot of time. So I was so impressed. I'm like, man, we should have, and you know, you do like long format stand up, which is kind of like what Ryan and I do. And
thanks, man.
You know, you don't see everyone trying that and being successful at it. So
yeah, that took a long time to get to. I used to think,
well,
I'm like,
trust me, I've known you for a long time.
Yeah. I get that. No, that there's more truth to that than you know. Like because I used to think like, oh, it has to be like short form set up punch shit, and then I don't know why.
This is what changed it for me. The way I started doing comedy too, and then once we began podcasting, that's when it all changed.
Yeah, because I don't know. I think people respond to that. It feels like it could be more limiting than it is. You know, like because you're doing a 7-minute set, it's like how much can you really settle people into a long form story?
Exactly.
But it's.
I mean, I have 10. We, you know, this is not happening. You're doing 10-minute stories. You know?
Yeah.
You can't. What the hell are you going
to
do?
And on top of that, you have like 12 people editing it, right?
Right.
Like telling you it has to be this long and maybe cut this part.
Well, I don't want to miss the opportunity because we'll get talking and forget to do it. So please plug your social media, your dates, anything you'd like.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I have at Eli Ellsberg on All Things Social and on the All Things Comedy Network. Just thought that was a fun play on words.
No other Eli Ellsbergs out there?
There is one in London. Yeah,
Eli Ellsberg.
Yeah, that's exactly his. The only reason I know that is because his girlfriend. This was years.
He owns
ago,
a haberdashery, or what does he do?
I don't know. He's like when I found out about it, I was like 20. Because this is when Twitter first happened.
Yeah,
and that's how I learned about it. Was his girlfriend would tag me in posts, forgetting that his Twitter handle was different.
Is she hot?
I don't remember.
Okay,
but she actually told me once though. She was like, I'm still following you because I think you're very funny. And I was like,
that's
all right,
nice.
Well, the door's always open.
Could you imagine if she left one Eli Ellsberg for
another? That's too good. Like, if that really happened.
I bet you that's happened out there to somebody. Of course it has.
Oh, for sure. For like a John
like
Smith.
Or a Mark Johnson or some shit. That would be crazy.
For
like,
sure.
I'm sorry, I can't even do this.
Yeah. And then some people just, I don't know, they don't like change. So
I have a friend who had an ex named Sophia. The next woman he met was named Sophia. His new wife is so. He went from a Sophia to Sophia. So her entire family calls her Sophia. He goes by her middle name. He calls her Anne.
Fuck, I would too, man.
It has for 20 some years. He's like, I just can't do it.
When I'm on a dating app, if someone has my ex's name, I fucking swipe left.
Of course,
they're out, man. I don't. No way. And it's like sometimes it's like tragic. I know that's saying a lot from a dating app, but I'll just be like, you have the same name, and you're. Wow, I feel like we would really hit it off, but bye.
But I can't do it.
Yeah, it's too tough. And it's weird that that's a tragedy in 2018.
I know.
It shouldn't be. It should just be like, all right, well, swipe left and shut off the phone.
I'm down to, like, if you have the same fucking sign that my ex has, I'm like, nope. Just
really?
Nope. Yeah,
are you,
for real.
Are you into astrology?
Enough that I'm know to stay away from fucking Scorpios.
Sup, Scorpios?
Wait, are you into astrology?
I just love, bragging about Aquarius,
the good one,
because I am one.
I'm an Aquarius too.
Yeah, when's your birthday?
February 17th.
Right
same
on.
Day as Michael Jordan and Paris Hilton.
And my son.
Oh, right, congratulations.
On.
Yeah.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I just recently got into astrology. I've been like trying to do a bit about it, but it's a thing where I think it's funny that I used to be pretty judgmental about anything that wasn't. Like, you know, most comics are like atheist and very like anything that like that will sound like nonsense.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I got a little into it last fall as a way to cope with a breakup.
Should have. Yeah. Like, well, look at the stars here.
I'll check it real quick. I'll be like, Pisces, man. This,
yeah.
But also voodoo, again, it's all voodoo. Voodoo only, as much as you put into it is what it's real. Like, I'll agree with something. I'm like, oh, yeah. And then other times, like, that's not, no.
Right, right. Well, I looked into how it's actually supposed to be used. There is, like, a way to use it, and it's not really meant to be, like, well, I'm this way because I'm an Aquarius. It's meant to, like, kind of tell you. It's no different than, like, say, psychology, like, in terms of therapy. Any of those tests you take, the Myers-Briggs, all that is kind of the same. But I do think it's funny that people will, like, I had a friend kind of give me shit for it, and I was like, well, you like Star Wars. Isn't that the same shit?
Yeah.
Like, is there really a big difference from, like, I don't know, the Force? Isn't that Mercury in retrograde? I'm doing the bit now. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, it's...
I hear it. I used to do a bit where I was like, I believe in astrology. Like, I'll read my, What is it?
Horoscope.
I'll read my horoscope, and then I'll be like, let's see what Sagittarius is at. You know what I mean? I'll just take one because I'm like, oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, that's
I believe whatever favors me.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if it's going to tell me I'm going to have a good day.
So tell us a little bit about
you. Well, hold on. Do you have any dates or websites or anything like that?
It's EliOlsberg.net. I have the show.
Didn't get the com, huh?
Nah.
What, he had
the British
no,
guy
no.
got.
I had the com, and then it got I was too broke to pay for it again for a little while, and then some troll got it. And then they're like, you have to pay $500 to get it.
500?
No, it was more than that, actually. Yeah. But it was like some astronomical number. So I was like, all right, I think .net's fine. Yeah. And then you can see me. I'll be at the Laughing Skull Comedy Festival April 26th to 29th if you live in Atlanta or close to Atlanta.
Great.
And Performance Anxiety at the Pleasure Chest is usually the second Tuesday of the month. But check my social media because sometimes it's second Tuesday of the month. You're right. And that changes once in a while. So
sometimes you get anxiety and can't have it on the second.
Yeah, yeah, and sometimes it has to be on the third.
Yeah.
On the 69th because it's a sex shop.
Yes.
Yeah.
69th.
That's about it.
All right.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So we were talking off mic before we started, but I don't know where you're from. Where are you from originally?
Originally Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
Do you have a big family? Do you come from a big family?
Very small family. My mother and it's just me. Yeah, yeah. I was conceived.
You hatched.
I walked out of the water in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Walked out of the ocean,
gator baby.
Out of the Atlantic Ocean, and my mom and my sister. I come from a single parent household.
Yeah,
and my sister's 10 years older than me, and she was pretty much a second mom.
Same parents.
Different dads.
Okay.
Yeah. So my sister's dad, she stayed in touch with. My dad died when I was 5.
And do you have any recollection?
No.
None.
No.
There's not a memory that you
wait,
can
think
of.
Wait, so
was
he around or had they split before you even died?
All right. So this
man,
is...
he sighed. We're getting deep here.
This is this is going to be... We're jumping right
into
it.
I'm going to grab water.
Right. Yeah.
Give me some tissues.
So my dad died when I was 5, but he and my mom split when I was 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
But the story, I don't know how, I think this was a way to deal with the trauma of it or something, but when I was a kid, I thought they were still together. So my dad's originally from Los Angeles, and, well, he's that's where his family lived, I should say, but he had a property out here as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he, from the time that he had
a property sounds nice.
Yeah,
had a house sounds like had a property. It could be a lot of different things.
Could be acres.
It could be a fucking hot dog stand, but whatever.
Well, this was back when people weren't living high and mighty out here, so you could have a whole ranch. Right. I don't know. I think he just had a house. It was somewhere in the valley. Okay. And
now it's in the valley.
Yeah, it's not a property.
First he had property in Los Angeles. Now he's got a one beddy out in the valley.
Shanty in the valley.
It was a shack. And I thought when I was, I thought he was still coming back and forth visiting my mom from when they split when I was 2.5. But I thought he was going back and forth. I don't know how I got that story. Somehow when I was a kid and I would ask my mom about it, that's the story I had in that.
Wait, when he split, did you not see him again after he left?
Nope. Apparently he had, I just thought I didn't remember him because I was like, well, why would I remember anything from before I was 5? But because, you know, from that age, you could still remember some things, but mostly like formative things that like maybe had an impact on you or I don't know, just specific memories.
Yeah, like I remember swimming like a time or two, things like that.
Right, but exactly.
I'm a little confused. I just want to ask you real quick. So Are you saying in your head you formulated a story that he was already gone out of your life, or was he dead at the point you thought he was still coming back and forth?
Well, I remember asking – so this is one of the memories I do remember when I was five is I asked, where's my dad? And my mother said, oh, he died. And they said it very matter-of-factly, and I didn't really react either way about – like I wasn't sad about it because I think just because I didn't have a memory of him. But from that point, I remember asking questions as I got older. And I don't know, somehow I got it that he was from 2.5 to 5, he was coming back and forth. And I just don't remember that.
I see.
And so when I told my mom that about a year ago, she was like, no, not even way less than a year ago. So I knew he was buried in Los Angeles or he was cremated. So I knew he was interred.
How did he die?
Died in a motorcycle accident, too far from here.
Oh, here in LA.
Yeah. Here in LA.
Should we go to the spot?
Yeah, if you want to see it, yeah, let's go
to the location.
With the microphone.
With the mic.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, so hold on. And your mom had no relationship with him?
So this is the part. I'm not sure what order to tell this in, so feel free to jump, cut me off at any point.
We will. That's definitely
if the story's too boring, cut it off. I'm just kidding. So but really, I'm not. You're monsters if you cut me off.
Yeah.
So he died out here, and he
But at 2.5, when he left, when they split, he moved back to L.A.?
Yes.
Okay. But was he paying child support or anything like that? Or was it like a, fuck you, I hate you, I'm out? Or
was it like... kind of neither. It was a weird... I don't know. I actually don't know.
He just pulled the plug.
I never asked about the child support. That's a good question. I know, I mean
you were living in Fort Lauderdale, so yeah. I'm guessing he wasn't chipping in much.
I know that he came out here, and I didn't know what the split was. So what happened was my... then girlfriend and I at the time were just hanging out. It was like a Sunday night. We just finished dinner with some of her friends, and I just said out loud, I was like, my dad's buried out here and interred out here. I should go to where he's interred. And she just looked at me like, she was like, yeah, a fuck it. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. That why wouldn't you have yet?
Right. Because, I think the closest I remember about this was 5 or 6 years ago. I thought about that. It hadn't crossed my mind in a way to visit, but just maybe to reach out to the family.
Yeah, any relation, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins?
So I did see my grandparents when I was really young. I visited them twice out here. They lived in Van Nuys. And
why did you come out here? For that reason?
Yes. My mom thought it would be good to have a relationship with them. My mom didn't they weren't friends or enemies. It was a neutral thing. I was obviously the connective tissue. And they would have me come out and
A ligament.
Right, exactly. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. An ACL when it tears,
right.
But not torn. So I visited a few times, and I fell out of touch with them because I was like, if you're not close to I don't know, my mom and I are very close.
Yeah, that's a weird place.
Yeah, and so I was just like, my mom and I are very close, and, my sister and my mom, they're the priority there. So I just kind of out of a teenage angst thing was like, all right, this is my family, and that's all I right. And my mom's side of the family, my grandparents and stuff, they're from Argentina, so I would go visit them too. I was closer to them, so I was like, that's my family, that's all I need to know. And I also had this dumb teenage logic of there's a mystery to my dad's side of the family, and I'll just keep it a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I for some reason thought that was cool.
Where's the rest of your family? I don't know. All right.
Yeah, yeah. I'd just God. I'd be like, I don't know, your guess is as good as mine. And that's
want to make out.
Yeah, and it worked every time.
Yeah.
So they split. Where oh yeah, you're
okay.
Asking
so
about,
I'm gonna say this. Sure. So your dad leaves at 2.5. There's no contact with your mom at that point.
But keep in mind, the way I'm telling you this, I did not know that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
At 5, you're age 5, he dies in a motorcycle accident out here. How does that word get back to your mom?
So this is what I found out. When I told my then girlfriend, I was like, I got to find out where he's buried. And I asked my mom, and she's like, I actually don't know where he was interred. And that's when I started finding all this out. This is literally the next day. She's like, she told me, she's like, I've been waiting for years for you to tell me that you were going to do this.
Really?
Yeah.
She didn't want to do it. She wanted you to do it.
Well, it's not that she didn't want to do it, but they had clearly split. So I think there was just less at stake for her. And so she just thought it was important for me to do it because this is my dad. This is my blood.
But she never brought it up or presented the idea or anything like that.
No.
Did she let you come to it?
Yeah. Well, and which
that's good.
Yeah, I was very grateful for that. And I realized because 5 or 6 years ago, some of his family had reached out, not my grandparents, he had apparently, so I'm going to try and do this linear, but I have to jump out for one second. His he had gotten remarried in that time, I learned. And his, I didn't realize that that was his then wife, his ex, his widow, reached out to me and was like, hey, are you Chuck's son? And I was like, yes. But at that point, I had started doing well in comedy, and I didn't want to...
He was Chucky Olsberg?
Charles Olsberg.
Charles Olsberg sounds right.
Yeah, but he went by Chuck. And he...
what did he do?
So my mom told me that he had... he worked in... Like, he would find property, that keyword again. He would find, like, oil, like property that had oil, and would work with, like, kind of as a middleman to, I guess, either buy it and resell it, or she was like, it was something to the... She didn't describe it super well to me, but from what it sounds like, it was kind of like flipping houses, but instead for finding property that wasn't... That had something that could be resold.
Gotcha.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
A resource.
A resource. Yeah, exactly. And then... which I don't know if that even exists anymore.
I wonder. I know all the... I see the pump still when you drive to LAX off the back way.
Baldwin
like
Hills.
Stock,
yeah. Baldwin Hills. Yeah. Getting oil out of Beverly Hills. Yeah. There's oil out of...
Yeah.
Beverly Hills Cop 2...
That's right. Has that scene where
he's jogging.
Dude, so Bel Air Country Club back in the day would not allow Jewish people in. And they were like, well, fuck you. We'll go start our own. So they went and they started Hillcrest, which is across from Fox. And then when they were building the place, they struck oil. And the people at Bel Air were like, fucking Jews, man.
That is incredible.
And I played there 3 weeks ago, first time ever playing. My friend invited me through a friend of his, and we're leaving, and there's a fucking oil derrick. And I go, dude, are you guys still getting oil out of the ground here? And he goes, yeah, we get a dividend every year. And I'm like, that's insane.
That is. I have a friend whose grandparents or parents, I think, have like... 0.03% of the Empire State Building property, and they get like a dividend from that as well.
Well, I mean,
I can't imagine.
Even what
if you
that's
get
worth.
0.00001, I bet that still you could live off that for like
absolutely.
A year.
Hell yeah,
absolutely.
So that's what he was doing. Apparently, was he was so maybe he found that Hillcrest.
Maybe
money.
That was him, man.
And at least that's what he was doing when he was with my mom. Like, he filed taxes, all that stuff. That's important to the story. And he, so they split, but when I was asking her about this, she was like, I don't know where he's, you want to.
I was going to ask you, did he have any other kids with her? Do you have any other half brothers or half sisters?
I don't know. And so I learned that next day, that he was in the Vietnam War. A grenade went off real close to where he was standing, and he was rendered sterile, supposedly.
Wow.
He took a fertility test. My mom still has it. She showed me the paper. He is
sterile.
Sterile. 99.9%.
It blew the sperm out of him.
Yep.
Jesus
literally.
Christ.
You had told me off mic that he threw another guy on top of it.
That's why he was 99.9%. If the grenade went off, it would have been 100%.
It would have been active sperm out of his body.
So,
Jesus Christ.
So he was supposedly sterile, and then my mom was pregnant all of a sudden. So that raised some questions. Yeah, and he had
all of a sudden with your pregnant with your sister.
No, my sister and I have different dads.
That's right. I'm sorry.
That's okay. And so she was pregnant, and he had been married twice prior to this. His first wife passed away of cancer, and then his second wife they had gotten a divorce
because of the sterility.
I would imagine that played a part.
How many women was he passing this off?
Yeah, right. I got this document from my doctor.
Check it out. I got a doctor's note. Don't worry. We don't need to use a condom. So they'd gotten a divorce, and it was a little suspect. And then they took a paternity test, which my mom also showed me, for me and my dad. Both of these things here's something that's worth noting.
Your mom's got her shit backed up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you're going to go out there, just want to see point A.
She
point
has
B.
all of these. Yeah, she yeah. kept She's everything, like, huh?
She kept everything. She kept the fucking report of where – the only reason I know of where he died is because she had a copy of the police report.
Good job,
and
Mom.
There was a fertility test, and we matched. And all of these things deal in probability, not in you can't do anything 100% on those
tests.
Yeah,
I think paternity tests are like a 98 or whatever.
Well, 99.9.
99.9, right. Yeah. Whatever, that's the highest you can get on one. Right.
Well, with the 0.1%, yeah. And then you tack on the Vietnam point.
No sterility.
What was the sterility? 0.26?
Same thing, like 99.9.
No fertility.
So look, man, you're a miracle if you are even at that.
Yeah.
unless you well, are.
It created a real fucked up inverted version of survivor's guilt for me, for sure. It yeah. suddenly puts this pressure where you're like, oh, do I have to do something with my life? Like, really mean? Like, do I owe somebody else right. besides myself? Which is
I saw Saving Private Ryan, man. I know.
Yeah. Yeah, you know the Matt Damon character. You get it.
You get it.
So I was like, that blew my mind to begin with. And then the police report I saw, he died on La Cienega, near just a little south of the 10, or just a little north. There's a coffee bean there. I don't know if you guys know which one I'm talking about, but there's a
south it's like of the 10.
It's right either just south or just north of the 10.
I know the one north of the 10.
Yeah, that's the one. It's okay. It's the coffee bean where there's like an LA Fitness right by.
Yeah.
It. He died in front of that coffee bean. And I used to go to that coffee bean a lot when I would either before I would go to LAX or
before you even knew this.
Before I even knew. Yeah.
Before you knew he wasn't even your dad?
Yep. Before I
Whoa.
And I went to that coffee bean because I remember my car got broken into and I had to take it to my insurance was like, you got to take it to a glass shop there for it to be fixed. So that was the first time I found that coffee bean. I was like, oh, I'll just go here whenever I have to go to like the West Side Comedy Theater or LAX or somewhere on the West Side. That's where I would stop to like get something to drink.
Yeah.
And that blew my mind.
That's crazy.
He was pronounced at that Kaiser.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
Mm-hmm. And so all that information, by the way, was I got in the span of 2 hours. I like
all from his widow.
No, from my mom.
Oh, all that paperwork was from your mom.
Yeah, and so I was like, okay, wow, I still don't know where he's.
So all these years, if you would have just said this earlier, your mom had all that shit sitting ready right
to,
there,
ready to go.
On
yeah.
deck, a
yep.
little folder
Good for
it.
Her.
And let me tell you, man, if I was in my, I don't think I just turned 33, and I think if I had gotten that information in my 20s, I don't know if I would have handled it the same way.
I can understand.
Like, I'm glad it took me this long to come to my senses about it. And then I started looking up just like, I just searched his name and no one, I have a friend who like is really good at that shit because he does research and he like couldn't find anything. He was able to find that that my dad had been remarried, but they couldn't find anything about where he was buried. So I was like, well, maybe my grandparents passed away. And so I looked them up and they had passed away and I looked at they were both interred in the same spot. So I was like, he must be interred there as well. Yeah. So I called that cemetery. It's a Jewish cemetery in the valley called Eden Memorial. And they were like, yeah, he's here. And I was like, are my grandparents are there? Like, yeah, they're all in the same little columbarium. And so that's when I went to visit. Wow. And yeah, he's there. Groucho Marx is about two spots over.
No,
you're related to Groucho?
Yeah, he's my great comedian uncle. And he's right there. Yeah, there people leave like cigars and stuff. People are even thirsty when they die. It's like crazy to me. I'm like, why would someone come by and leave cigars? Like, let this guy rest in peace.
Yeah.
He's there, and I guess there's a few famous people there. I looked up. I was looking they have that cemetery has a Wikipedia page.
Oh my God.
Rodney Dangerfield's got the best headstone. You know what it says?
No, what does it say?
It says, "There goes the neighborhood."
I'm so glad it doesn't say I get no respect. That's great.
I think it's "There goes the neighborhood."
So he's buried there. Both my grandparents are buried there, and so is, I believe, my grandmother's sister is also buried there. They're interred. They're all he's a few rows down, and then the three of them are up there. So they bought that spot. They must have bought that spot 25 years. You know, she had to.
Yeah.
She had to buy a spot for her kid.
Yeah.
And then think ahead and buy a spot
right.
for the
Might
three
as well
of them.
Get them all here together.
It was crazy to me. Yeah. And on his stone, it says Charles Joel Olsberg, Desperado.
Shut up, dude.
My girlfriend at the time, she went with me.
I wish it said fertile as fuck.
Never firing blanks.
Never.
47 to 90.
One for one.
Yeah.
Wow.
By the way, that paternity test happened because his ex-wife didn't believe that.
Damn,
you were his son.
Yeah.
Wow.
So my mom was furious because she's like this 4 months old and you gotta like you're already getting like checkups and blood tests and shit. Yeah. She's like, I don't want to put more needles in him. She was like, she was so sad about that. My mom was like furious. And my dad paid the $250 for a paternity test, and
it's about two barrels of oil back then.
Yeah. $250.
Oh, they had to do blood. Back then, you couldn't just do hair or like a cheek swab or whatever.
I don't think so. No,
now.
No. I don't. This is pre-OJ. Yeah. I think this is like
way pre-OJ.
Yeah. So I think that's when that kind of stuff started happening. And yeah, this is where it gets even fucking crazier. I was working when I was 19. I worked at Best Buy, mm-hmm. and in Fort Lauderdale, and a woman approached me and said, "Excuse me, are you Chuck's son?"
No way.
Yeah, and I was like, "Yes," and it was his ex-wife.
So you,
wow,
did you sign her up for a card?
I Man. Did. Yeah, yeah, I got. I was like, "You got to get the extended warranty.
You got to get the program."
Yeah, make sure you get the service
by
plan.
Look. So you look that much like your father.
Yes, when
she was married. To
he
him.
Also was playing Desperado on one of the radios.
Yeah, yeah.
Desperado.
I saw it coming by and I just turned it up. I was like, switch. And this is before Spotify, so I had to fucking.
What if that was his favorite song?
Hold
on. What happened? Did she like? Did she get upset? Did she cry?
Not at
she,
all. No, she was just like she just said. She said, "You look so much like him. I knew that."
But you only knew you were his son because of what your mom had told you.
Right, right. She, you know what? I'm sorry. I did the paternity test. No, there was something there where she did tell. At 19, she did tell me
your mom.
Yeah, actually, I don't think she did tell me. She didn't have to tell me because it's like
either
well,
way, he would
it,
know
like,
his dad's name.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No,
but
I knew
without
my dad's
knowing
name.
What he really looked like or ever spending any time with him, you're
well,
like,
he was
I just,
there up back and forth 2.5
yeah,
to 5.
Yeah.
I just know that's my dad, and she's telling you right then at that moment you look just like him.
Right, and I'd seen some pictures of him, and
did you think you looked like him from the pictures?
Well, from when he – so the pictures were mostly from when he was in his – like he was a lot older at this point. So we didn't look as much alike. But then when my – she – so this woman saw me there and she came back a few days later. I gave her my number. She came back to Best Buy on a day I was working and gave me a picture of him when he was like really young. And we are dead ringers.
Wow.
No pun intended. It is fucking we are doppelgangers. For
really?
Sure. Yeah. And so – and I realized thinking back now, I'm like, man, my grandparents must have – that must have been real painful to look at me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make it yeah. like the neutrality of it. I'm not – like I just mean that I was like, wow, that must have been very hard for them.
Sure.
And it's what's even crazier, this is a thing that it's like a weird connection, but I still think there's a meaning
just,
to it.
I'm sorry. I'm just feeling their fucking pain right now.
Yeah.
To see their what looks like their young son walk back through their door. That's
yeah,
crazy.
But I wish that they, you know, I don't know what was going, like if that's why maybe we hung out less, like why I didn't visit as much, which is a, that's a little bit of a bummer though. You
well,
know
yeah,
I mean? If
yeah.
that's if that's the case.
In all honesty, when you're that young or just young at all, the responsibility or the person who's going to have to take the lead in making sure that relationship exists is the grandparents.
Right,
so,
right.
like, you know, it can get like, you know, out of sight is out of mind. They can be out of there and like they have to really want to have a relationship with you.
Right.
You know, I'm not nothing against you.
No,
I'm just
no,
saying
exactly.
like that's just the way it is.
Well,
you know?
I think because I'm removed enough from it, I'm not upset about like I don't know if that's the case. Like
sure.
I've tried to think about it where I'm like, well, I was so young. I really don't know what was happening then. So because I did visit them and I used to talk to them a lot. So I don't think there was I don't think it was that heavy.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it definitely messed with them. And also, when I was one of the few, I remember they 1 year they were sending me birthday presents, like, just tell us what you want. You know, we're not going to surprise you or anything. So I was like, okay, cool. And I, at the time, Desperado was one of my favorite action movies. And so I asked them for a copy of that on VHS. And I was like, that they paid to put that on the stone. They knew that was there.
Already there.
So I can't imagine.
God, that had to blow their fucking mind.
Now it blows my mind. Yeah. I still think about that. And I'm like, his favorite song was also like one of my favorite adolescent.
Was that his favorite song? That really was it? You think?
I mean, well, so
the movie was now.
My cousin,
yet, so.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. My cousin, when I posted a picture of his
drove a Desperado pickup truck yeah. with the whole ship.
Boy, that's a different kind of family that I'd yeah. be a part of if I found that out. I had posted a picture of his headstone and. The plaque, and my cousin had responded on Facebook because we were Facebook friends, and he put that my uncle had picked
your dad's
that,
brother?
Yes, had picked that for his headstone. So I'm guessing it had to
is
be,
he dead too?
He had passed away recently, yeah.
Oh, sucks.
Yeah. We had only talked once when I was like 8. I called when I was like 8 or maybe a little older, like 10, 11. I called my grandparents to talk to them, and he was house sitting for them. He was like staying at their place. They were out of town. And he and I talked for like 2 hours.
Nice.
Ugh.
Yeah, and that's the only conversation we ever had.
That sucks. If my brother died, I would talk to his kids all the time. I mean,
he's house sitting.
Sure,
he probably ain't doing so great. You know what I mean?
No, he had a family in Dallas, and he was doing
He was
very
running
well.
Away from.
He was doing
Is he doing oil out there?
What's that?
Was he doing oil?
Probably
too?
An oil.
No, no. I don't know what he did. It does sadden me that I didn't like. I mean, not that like you said, there's probably a responsibility on the other side, but my mom also made a very specific choice. And this is what I found out later on when I spoke to my mom. Said that she was like, well, his divorce prior to it was still happening while she was pregnant with me from his ex-wife.
Okay.
And it was so.
Wife number two, he's divorced.
Yes.
Into...
My mom never. They never got married. They were never legally married. So my mom was like, "Well, what was happening between them was so acrimonious or whatever. It was just so intense that my mom was like, she's like, I didn't want to raise you, and I didn't want to be involved. I didn't want anything to do with this. So I made an agreement with your dad that we need to split. He needs to take care of that." And in a few years, when it's all sorted out, you can, you know, Eli can be back in your life. Mm-hmm. And he completely agreed to it. So he split. And my mom, my grandparents on my mom's side came to help raise me. So the house was my mom, my sister, my grandmother, and my grandfather. And okay. They were all putting in the work. You know, I was going to preschool and elementary school. And eventually my mom finally was able to get the only number he left was his mother's number, my grandmother on my dad's side. That's the only number my mom had. So she called, and apparently 4 months prior to that, that's when he died.
Wow.
So yeah, so my mom had, she was busy making sure that I was taken care of, that my, also that her teenage daughter was being taken care of. And it was like, it was some real mama bear stuff. That's what I figured.
I mean, it sounds a lot like she shielded you until you were ready for it.
Yes, there's definitely a protective element there. And it was clearly very needed.
Like, didn't run from it, didn't deny it if it was brought, but until you were ready to do this.
Right.
She was ready to go. She had all that paperwork.
Yeah.
She really was
ready. She was very, also very no-nonsense about it. Like, she was able to remove herself from the situation of being like, well, these are my two kids, and obviously I'm here by against all odds. She saw it that way, and so she was like, I'm going to make sure you guys are okay. And so she... So by the time she got that call, she never filled in the blanks of what my dad was doing in that time. And I realized, I'm like, oh, when I found out, when my friend was helping me look up who, you know, where he could have been buried, he was like, oh, it looked like he was married to a woman prior before he passed. And this is her name. And I'm like, that name sounds familiar. And I'm like, oh, that's the woman that reached out to me on Facebook. And I was searching my messages. I couldn't find anything. And then it was under...
This is woman number four.
So it'd be woman number four, correct. Yeah.
So what number, I'm sorry, I'm going to bring you back, but what's the Best Buy lady? Was that woman number two?
Number two. Because woman number one, she had passed away long before he had met her. I think she had passed away like in the early 70s.
All right, so now back to number four here.
Right, so number four, and I was like, okay, I have to, and her name's, well, just for the story, her name's Ty. And I was like, okay, I remember Ty sent me a message. I finally found it. It was in my fucking Facebook like page, which I had to create because I was doing some show where they're like, we can't use a personal page for the promo. Mm-hmm. So I barely used that page. And
not many likes, you know.
Yeah, not very. Let's just say not very many. Let's just say I have more friends than likes. So I saw her. I finally found her message, and she was like, I reread it. It said, "Are you Chuck's son?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "All right, well, if you're ever, whenever you're ready, I'm here. Let's talk." And I was like, holy fuck. And my girlfriend at the time was like, she's waiting for you, even 5 years later. Give her, you know, and I found her, when I looked on her Facebook profile, I found her phone number. So I just gave her a call because it was going to give me too much anxiety to reach out by Facebook or text and have to fucking wait. Yeah, I don't know what. And during that period, I was particularly hypersensitive.
Ooh, I'm getting
like
anxiety
that.
Now thinking about your what you must be feeling while her line's ringing.
Right, right. Man. And
your
dad
struck oil on the last.
So I called her. She answered, and she had said, she's like, "Can I actually call you back in a little bit?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." She was busy, and so she texted me later and was like, "Let's talk this weekend," because I think she just wanted to make sure we could talk uninterrupted. Mm-hmm. And we finally did, and she explained to me, she was like, "So when your dad died, he was on probation. He was living in a halfway house. He had gone to jail because during that time,
for what?
Get ready. So
at
that time
wait.
Between when he had split and come back to LA, he had gone to jail because he was a con artist.
Really?
He was forging checks Like Leo DiCaprio in Catch Me If You Can.
Do you know how much money?
No, I didn't know the numbers, but I know that he was involved in something heavy enough that his sentence was to Tehachapi, which that's a prison just outside of LA County.
Okay.
Like east of, kind of like by Lancaster, you have to go like a little north, I think. And it's I think it's a maximum security prison, but I actually didn't look that up. But
hold on.
I was like, what the fuck?
Let's can we go back now?
Yeah.
Because that paternity shit was, I mean, the sterile thing was a lie.
Yeah.
100%.
I guarantee you that, Doc.
He might have been 99.9, but it was a lie by 100.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He's selling fake land with no oil on it. You think he's fucking...
Well,
he's had kids all over the country.
Well, my mom, she did her homework on that. That's on her. She was there for those tests.
Was she?
Yeah.
This guy's obviously pretty good. Maybe he forged the whole place.
Yeah,
no.
He had fake doctors
the
in there.
The test is real.
No, the test is real.
It's the
result.
It's the I'm sterile document that's bullshit.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, sterile document.
You think so?
Yeah, I agree with Jay.
The guy was a... Did he even go to NAM? Was he even in NAM?
Did a grenade even blow up near
him? Here's how I could confirm that, because there was a woman that was married to him that also...
Another one?
No. Oh. Number two.
Best Buy.
That's when they did the test. Because they had tried to have kids for 8 years.
Right.
Oh, so they tried to have kids for 8 years, couldn't do it. He gets with your mom and nails
suddenly
it.
He's pregnant. Yeah. So that's what confirms.
And a guy like that's not going to fake a fucking paternity test to say he is the dad.
Yeah.
There's no way that's happening. So he's definitely his dad.
Who knows? And I mean, it's
the
interesting.
The picture is proof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The doppelganger picture is proof.
Right,
too.
Right. No, there's,
I don't
a, lot
know,
of, there's a lot of.
Desperado.
Yeah.
On the road.
Desperado.
On that cycle, baby.
Desperado's the clincher for
hair in the wind.
And Desperado's my favorite movie on that side because of my mom's from Argentina. There's like a Latin element to that I was like, okay, cool. And a Latin action hero.
The Crab Feast is supported in part by Warby Parker, boutique quality eyewear at a revolutionary price point. What we are dealing with here, you guys, Warby Parker, if you don't know about them, is basically an eyewear company where you go online, pick out 5 pairs of glasses that you like, and they'll send them to your house. You try them on, pick the one you like, and then send them back, and then they will send you back the glasses that you've chosen with your prescription lenses in them. I did it.
I did,
Rye did it.
Yep, I love them.
The process was really easy. I had heard about Warby Parker for a long time. And basically, I went online, and because if you go to an eyewear shop, like, how much time do you have to sit there and pick them out? There's all these different kinds. Warby Parker has so many different designs and different styles, but it wasn't, like, overwhelming. There weren't so many. It was really easy for me to be like, yeah, I like this, I like this. And, like, just going through all of them, I think it was, like, 7 I thought that I'm like, oh, I could wear any of those, and then I narrowed it down to 5. And then I got them, and I took one was a risk. One was like, this is a big risk. The other 4 were, like, in my wheelhouse. And, I tried them all on. I'll post a picture of them. I got them. I took pics in every one because I had to check with the wife. And it was great. I finally narrowed down. I got the ones that I wanted. And here's the thing that's amazing is glasses start at $95, including prescription lenses. Lenses include anti-glare and anti-scratch. For every pair you buy, a pair is distributed to someone in need, which is a great feature that I had no idea about until we started working with them. And free home try-on program, you order 5 pairs, like I said, try them on for 5 days, no obligation to buy, ship free, and includes a prepaid return ship. That's the other thing. Sometimes these are a pain in the butt, things like this. It wasn't. Boom, you get the thing. The label's right there. You pick the ones, you fold them all up, put the postage right on it, and just drop it in the mail. It was so easy.
So easy.
After you head to warbyparker.com/crabfeast and place your home try-on order, make sure to download the Warby Parker app from the iTunes App Store. They built this awesome home try-on companion feature, which allows you to quickly take photos wearing all the frames, stitch it into a video, and share it with friends and family to help you pick a winner. I wish I had done... I didn't even do this. I was just taking pics. But that's the easier way to do it. So go over to warbyparker.com/crabfeast. Order up your 5 pairs. Take a look. And they're great prices. And enjoy your new glasses. So hold on a second. What else did she tell you?
So she told me that he was forging checks. And when they met, he was also in AA. And that's where they met. They met in AA. And she told me that...
How long into AA? You know, you're supposed to wait a year.
Yeah,
before you date,
I don't think they did
anyone in the program.
Yeah, yeah, you're not supposed to. Yeah, you're supposed to
be in the program for at least a year before you date anyone in the program.
I thought it was a year period.
What do you mean, like whether in or outside?
In or out of the program.
Okay, maybe
yeah,
that is.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you're supposed to, when you're like, supposedly if you're cutting any form of addiction, you're supposed to not date anyone for a year.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's
and then
just,
you develop a masturbation addiction.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. No and problem. Then you start
we'll
going.
We'll put that off for a year.
Yeah. And then you start attending meetings for that. And right. then there's another year you don't
there's
date.
There's another year, yeah.
And then eventually you become a monk and you don't ever date again.
Okay, so they met in AA.
So they met in AA. She had her own. She had kids as well. She had two kids, and she said she wanted not, like eventually she knew what his story was, and she was about forging checks and shit, and she was like, I don't want anything to do with you because I have kids and you know their safety, and this is a mess. And apparently, he called her back 10 minutes later and said, all right, take me to the police station. I'm gonna go to jail.
Wow.
Turned himself in.
Turned himself in.
He is desperado.
Yeah. So she drove him there, and he got sentenced to, it was like 3 to 6 years or three. That's the only thing I don't remember is what the actual sentence was. But they got married at the prison.
So she still went through it.
Yeah.
Through with it.
Yeah. Well, he kept up his end of the bargain.
He sure did.
You know? And they got married.
Isn't that strange, though?
That is...
If you're everything all about protecting your children, why would you marry a prisoner?
I don't.
I mean, he's not going to be around your kids.
Dude, Chuck Oldsberg had for three to six. He's not going to be around your kids.
Well, at that point, I guess you're going on character.
I mean, man, I guess. Like, he's a man of his word.
Look, man, he's got women asking for paternity tests, getting married in prison. He clearly had some kind of charm.
He married three women and then had a baby with one he didn't marry.
Correct. Yeah. So there's clearly some charm here.
Yeah. He knew.
You know, when I learned all this stuff, at no point did anyone pass judgment when they were telling me these stories. That's what made me emotional about it. I remember when I found out.
Because they still thought he was a great guy?
Yeah. I mean, they were like, you know, I mean, I don't know. I know that after Vietnam.
Bad checks.
Yeah, bad checks.
Good
yeah.
God.
That's,
good that, God,
that's
bad
the name of his,
checks,
that's
man.
The name
hey,
of his,
Desperado! Down there stop yelling that. Down the cell block.
Desperado, good guy, bad checks, the Chuck Oldsberg
that's
story.
<it. laughs>
That's put it on the book.
Good guy, bad checks, man.
Wait, I'm trying to think. There was something else I want. Oh, yeah, so she told me this story. So he eventually got paroled. And
after how long?
A year and a half.
Okay.
And he was living in a halfway house.
Found oil in the yard.
Yeah, found oil in the yard. Yeah, at a halfway house. He was like, hey, guys, do you ever check the backyard? And they were like, no, what for? He's like, what are you talking about? This
guys.
Whole...
right fucking, over there by the fucking bench press, yeah. man. Fucking tapped it for some more.
They used a dumbbell to fucking dig it out.
Over yeah. there, yeah.
And, so he had joined another... He had to join a different AA... group because he had scammed the previous.
Shut up! He's addicted to scam.
What did he scam
it was
him
like
for? A pyramid scheme of some kind.
He got everyone involved.
Yeah, like with money. I guess something about return investments couldn't.
Oh god damn.
Yeah,
he just sounds like a guy who's bored by life. Like he's like fucking.
No, this is a post. This is post Vietnam shit.
Yeah, I was just about to say
this
PTSD
is post, for sure. Post Vietnam Reagan era shit. That's what I gathered from it. I was like, this is a guy who definitely
suffered.
Yeah, because the VA didn't do anything for him. I know my mom said that he had been kept trying to get stuff through the VA and they didn't do shit for him. And look, she told me what
Desperado's calling again.
What
guys.
Yes, exactly.
Just put
he
him
just
on hold.
Got on his fucking Harley and just was like
he's out front again.
Yeah. He Ty told me that he one thing he did say. So something I left out. I looked up, I was like, this guy something else I was able to find out in my homework is that he potentially was doing like one of his odd jobs was like possibly being a stuntman.
Sounds about right.
And because he had gotten injured and had like some claim from that. And so she had said, she's like, that could be possible. She's like, I'll just say this, that when the grenade went off in Vietnam, whatever injury he sustained, they had to take veins from his legs to put in his arm.
Damn.
Yeah. So he was not doing well in his last few years of life. He was like in a lot of pain. She had told him, she said, I could go. These apparently words he said, I could go right now and I would be okay with it. Because he would have probably lost his legs or something because he had very poor circulation.
But not before I get a latte of coffee.
Yeah, yeah. That was like a shopping plaza or something back then with like, I think like a Mervyn's or something.
Merv. But do we think that...
that one where he was going.
Nah.
Coffee beans are better out than
He lived very close to that coffee bean.
What kind of motorcycle he drive?
It was a Harley.
It was a Harley.
Well, here's the...
Have you ever heard of anyone having a vein transplant?
Well, yeah, they take out, yeah. Okay. Take out all the time.
I haven't, so I've just...
Yeah, I've heard for heart attack victims
I don't think they call
like
them vein transplants, though. I think right. They just literally...
The VT.
I think it's easy enough to take it out.
And, oh, yeah, the VT?
Yeah. Well, this is what I learned about the accident. He had gone to a different AA group, but he had straightened out at that point even with them. And he went to...
What do you mean with them? Like the other AA group? Like he'd show up once and we're like, hey, Chuck! All right.
Now
I don't mean he straightened out with the old group. Sorry, I meant to say he was starting fresh finally.
Yeah.
And he... I can say this now without getting as emotional. When I found out this part, I like... was crying a lot. He bought a motorcycle, and I know, right? Fucking 33-year-old man child here. He bought a Harley on the morning of December 15th. That was the day.
My buddy David George's birthday. What's up, David?
What's up, Dave?
Fuck you, David. This isn't about you, David. He bought a motorcycle that morning and had gone to his AA group and was heading back home that afternoon. And got in the accident that killed him.
Holy
shit. On the bike that day.
On the bike that he bought that morning. When I learned that, my mom told me.
Probably knowing your dad paid for it with his own money. He's like, you know what?
Finally
I'm on the straight and narrow.
That's how the story would end.
Yeah,
of course.
With the real, you know. And yeah, he had got, I remember when I learned that, I was like, when my mom told me that, as she told me that over the phone, I had like tears streaming down my face. And then when I called my girlfriend at the time to tell her that, I was like, I started crying. I must have been on the phone with her for like 15 minutes. I finishing sentences was so hard. And I couldn't, I was like, well, that's how else would that story end? You know what I mean? Like in terms of how he would die, it's like, that's the only way that this could be. It's like it wouldn't happen any other way. But that was crazy to me. I was like, wow, that's like, That's also life in a nutshell for you, like a less like how to live by. But nobody ever I remember when I told my mom, I was like, well, so he was a con artist. She's like, man, poor guy.
Oh, your mom didn't even know.
No, but she was like, yeah, well, after Vietnam, I can't imagine what he was. What were the options?
I mean, he had told me he was hosting that morning show in Miami, and I just...
Hey, look, he one thing, I guess he had a thing for not just Harleys, but nice cars, because he had a Porsche when he lived in South Florida.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but he got rid of it. He got rid of it when I was born. My mom, because it could only fit two people.
Sure.
Yeah, see,
And he's like, I only need one seat. Out to L.A.
My mom, you know what, man? Motorcycles, I'll tell you this. What's funny is when my dad died, I mean, that already had put something in my head. I remember my mom had dated a biker after that. Yeah. A guy who was like into motorcycles. And I always wanted to ride on one. And my mom was like, no, she refused it. I asked her for months. And finally, she let her boyfriend at times, she's like, okay, Eli can sit on the back. You literally, we were.
How old were you?
Six, seven? Yeah. I was too young to be on a motorcycle, that's for sure.
Well, Florida,
exactly.
Goes.
So she, and the house that we lived in was literally in the center of the street. It was the most center house on that block. So she's like, you can take him half a block and bring him right back. And that's the only time I've ever been on a motorcycle. And my mom, about 2 years after my dad died, was in a motorcycle accident.
Your mom?
Yeah.
With that guy?
With that guy. Or with a friend. Yeah, with that guy, I believe. It was the same guy. And she broke her arm. She. It's fine now, but it took her forever.
Needed a vein.
Yeah, she got a VT. That saved her life.
VT saved her. A Chuck Allsburn?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You can now... I mean, now it's fine, but it took her years. I mean, she still can't really lift too heavy with that arm. It's like, so motorcycles are a no...
I had one for 2 years. I mean, I lived in Maryland, so you could really only ride it spring and summer.
Yeah.
But I was never 100% comfortable on it. I got rid of it, and anyone that survives even a small fall on a motorcycle at even a slow speed is lucky to fucking be alive.
Absolutely. So,
you're right. Even at 50 miles an hour, fuck.
A moped. You go down on a moped. You wrecked one, didn't you? Wasn't one of your stories one time?
No, I wrecked a buddy who was on one.
Yeah. I mean, you could die for, you know, one head crack and it's done.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you're not, and my dad wasn't wearing a helmet. Of course.
Of course. Auto, please.
All that air, man.
Come on, I can't put this air on here.
So, So
I have a question then, because I'm sitting here replaying everything you said in my head. You're your dad's only child.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, he wasn't. He said he had a brother who passed away. No, uncle.
That was his...
My dad's brother.
His father's only kid.
My dad. Yes, of course. Yeah, I'm his only child. Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But hold on a second. Was there an autopsy when he died?
Probably. I mean, I didn't look into that.
I'd like to see it.
It's all public record. You can get all that.
I just want to know if he was drunk, because I'm just saying there's a chance.
No, he was not.
He wasn't?
No, because she got, I do know that there was, no, there was a police report.
Okay.
No, he was sober.
Do you know how it happened? Like, did a car hit him?
A car.
Was he doing a wheelie?
He was doing all sorts of tricks, man. He was like,
handstand.
He was on one wheel for sure. It was not two wheels. No desperados going two wheels. No.
They have a front wheel.
No. he was, the car had pulled too far forward and he T-boned the car. He was not intoxicated. I do know that part, actually. I did find that out, but I'm sure you're right. It's public record. I could confirm it. He had been sober a little while. He had already been. I mean, I think that's also probably part of the, when you're at a halfway house. That's part of the,
for sure. But I mean, he's also writing blank checks and
or,
I mean, God, what an interesting dude.
Yeah, very. I mean, I initially had a reaction about the con artist stuff where I was like, oh man. And then after a while, I was like, but everybody keeps. Everyone's like,
your con artist sounds so bad.
I know, yeah.
I could just see everyone in that, Amy. I mean, he had a Porsche. He sold it for his kid.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a stand-up
guy. That's a stand-up guy.
Listen, I know we lost 12 grand. Hey, I know everybody lost 12 grand collectively.
I love people like that. You know, you got a life you've lived of how old was he when he passed?
40.
He's young.
Born in 47, died in 90s, 43.
He lived 14 lives.
He did. Yeah, 43. He did. But also, in 43 years, I love the people that could take that one thing like that. Like, he sold a Porsche. You know, and that's it. That's enough of them the whole 43 years to give him a check.
I mean, the part that's sad to me is that my mom didn't get it. Because I asked his number four, Ty. I asked her. I said, who was I to him at that point? Like was it – because if they had been out of touch, like, what was his goal here?
And Did he ever talk about you?
All the time, she said, yeah. Wow. And said the goal was to get back to me, like, to get his shit together enough to get back to me and be involved. And
did he follow you on – at that time, was there social media?
Yeah. He was on – I was on Twitter.
He followed?
In 1990? Yeah.
It was 90.
Which
I was running with the bit. I thought you
sorry, I had the date messed up.
I thought you were going to say at the 90. End he was a bigger fan of British.
I was like, oh, I'm going to run with this. Because I thought that's what you're No, not at all. I love that I was running with the bit and you're like, nah.
I'm getting more and more confused.
I just got out of touch. Yeah.
He wasn't even five.
That's right.
Well, he was five. So he was
all
like,
this you're finding out right now. Yes,
yeah,
I got
he,
it. You
he,
said less than even it's as fresh as less than a year. All this for you?
Yes, September of last year is when I started doing the homework.
Wow, 6 months. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Whew. So you just found out. I mean, almost your whole past, but you've waited all this time.
Yeah, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
I'm really glad I did.
I agree. I think at 20 you could have been like, whatever, or fuck it, or
yeah, or like, what the fuck? Yeah, I don't know. And not only that, but I wonder how much of it I would have been able to handle at one time. You know what I mean? Like, that's a lot to get in the span of, I found out part of it in a day in about 2 hours, and then the rest about a week later. And then, I mean, I still haven't reached out. My goal next is to. So Ty told me she lives in California still.
Have you met with her or had lunch with her?
Not yet. That's what's next.
Is she ready for that?
Yeah, She told me, she's like, whenever you want to come down here.
She's a big Tiffany Haddish fan. Yeah. She ran.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to, actually, the show you and I did in San Diego, I had debated stopping by that after, like, I was going to spend the day in San Diego, but I was like, I don't, that needs to be on a day off.
That's where she is?
She's not in San Diego. She's a little bit north of it, but she's, yeah, she's got a good life. It sounds like her kids are fully grown. She's got grandchildren. And my cousins they're still around. We're all Facebook friends. And so I'm.
Did she ever remarry?
I don't think so. I don't think she did. She's ready. And then also, I haven't reached out to my cousins yet. That's also a thing that's like on the to do list.
All right. Yeah. So cousins, how? Give me the connection on that.
My uncle, the one who passed away. Their father
passed away.
Yeah.
How many of the kids did he have?
Two.
Okay. So those two cousins.
Yeah. And I've met one of them. When I was visiting my grandparents, he was also there for a couple of days, not for the whole trip, but so we hung out for a few days, and they're both, I mean, like we haven't talked yet, like long form in any way, but anytime I post stuff like on social media, I see everybody liking each other's posts and stuff. So it's
that's
like,
cool.
Yeah,
that's
it's
supportive
there.
And nice.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. It's a thing where I'm like, I'm definitely going to keep, the story technically isn't over because of that to me. You know what I mean? Like there's a closure there that I guess I didn't ever really. It's not that I don't know if I needed it, but it definitely was something that...
I kind of don't see it as a closure. I see it as more of an opening for you.
Yes.
Because now you have all these relationships you can move forward with that are brand new to you. This Thai relationship could be something that who knows what comes of that.
Right.
Well, cousins, all that.
Yeah, exactly. And my ex was like, she's like, well, this is just like, it's like part of your history. That's what you're learning. She's like,
exactly.
This is just a history lesson.
That's
and
right.
she put it very well. So.
That's great.
Yeah. And... yeah, I'm trying to think if I left anything else out from it that was like...
It's a great story.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
I love that it's to be continued, too.
Yeah. I just...
What could be... You're going to find out he was like a... He ran for governor of New Mexico. Yeah.
I'm going to find out he was like a paid regular at the store.
Yeah, totally.
Before the strike happened. His name's on the wall, but it's like a different name.
Do you ever, have you gone back to that coffee bean?
No, I've driven past it though. I remember when I was driving to something in Culver City. I think, it was to a pumpkin patch. We drove past it, and I was like, "Oh, that's there." And there's the guys. Now I just drove past it on the way here. Actually, I was on La Cienega.
Oh wow.
Oh no, I didn't. No, Waze sent me a different way. Waze was like, "You can't handle this right now."
Waze was like, "Your dad died there."
You know what? You're going to be doing enough talking about it. Let's not see it.
Yeah, Waze was like, "Take it easy. Make a right here on Robertson."
I love it.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, because, we had talked about some other stories about, like, in your adult life.
Yeah.
Do you think anything of, like, of not knowing this or just how you grew up affected who you are in your adult life and now how you might be different?
Yeah. I mean, I think one thing that I know, like, because my mom and my sister, they're very independent people. And so that's, I moved out here when I was 23. I was by myself. A lot of that came from them. And I don't know now in terms of...
Your mom sounds like a really strong woman.
Very, yeah. Both my mom and my
physically
sister
are. Weak. I mean,
yeah.
Her veins, man.
Couldn't handle a motorcycle accident at high speed. I mean, that's
she just needs
more like Miss Glass.
Yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson, move over. There's a new glass in town. Yeah, she is, and she really made sure that. It's funny because when I started doing comedy, looking back now, I'm like, man, she's. Sacrificed all that, and she's like, he's trying to fucking do what in Hollywood?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, can't he just go to school and get an MBA?
Yeah.
I don't think she was very supportive of everything I do, but yeah, she definitely is very strong, stronger than me. Because when I was telling her this stuff, she was just like, she came out to visit in December for the first time ever.
Oh, man.
And I took her to, she went and saw where he was interred. I took her. To
oh,
see
you
him.
Did?
Yeah. She was so happy to do it. She was like, she was like smiling. She felt so like happy about it. She's like, this is so great. I'm so glad his parents paid for him to be in this very nice, like this kind of like a mausoleum almost.
Yeah.
And she's like, this is so beautiful. She was like so happy to see that he was like resting in peace well.
Yeah.
You know, that it was, he didn't get Mozart's pauper grave from the state.
Totally. Right.
I'm glad I got to see him before, like, because it was very emotional the first time I was there. I mean, I was there for like an hour just really processing that. And so when I got to go with her, it was a lot more like there was a positive element to it.
I think it would have been fun to let your mom try and pick which one was his.
Oh my God, that's what I was forgetting about the story. When I found out he was interred at this Jewish cemetery, I was like, all right, we'll go on Saturday. So my girlfriend and I made a whole thing for it. And then as we're driving there, I was like, it's a Jewish cemetery. I don't think they're going to be open Saturday. On Saturday. And she told me, she's like, why wouldn't you look that up? Why wouldn't you fucking look that up? And I was like, well, we'll see what happens when we get there. We get to the gate. It's locked. It's closed. Security guard's there. We flag him down. And we're like, listen, it's and also it was very close to the anniversary of his death, actually. I think he died on the not the anniversary of his death. It was very close to there was some tie to it where I was like, this would be a good time to go. His birthday is in November and the anniversary of his death. Oh, sorry, I'm confused.
When he crashed
story.
The federal
That's
bank?
What my yeah. when he rode his motorcycle in there. Fucking that's what it was. When my mom came to visit, it was very close to the anniversary of his death. We went, I think, like 3 or 4 days before. But when we got there, she was like, the security guard was like, you know what?
He was like, holy shit, are you Chuck Oldbrook? Yeah.
We've been trying to figure out who the Desperado's son is as I live and breathe right
here.
That
should be your next album.
That, for sure. I thought about that. I was like, there's going to be something where
how
I put
could
Desperado.
It not be?
Yeah.
You wanted Desperado. He had already had Desperado.
Yeah. And so he let us in. He goes, you have 15 minutes.
He let you in?
Yeah, but we...
Fuck yeah.
But we, when we got in, we're like, all right, so where would he be? And he goes, that's up to you guys to find him.
And then he walked by and went, Desperado.
Yeah. And he's like, his Harley's right over there. Hop on and fucking ride around. And good luck. Mazel tov, you know? And
that's
so,
great that he let you in.
It was. But we... So he gave us a map, and I was able to find through where my, like, online, because my grandparents passed away more recently, so it's actually listed, like, where they're interred. So we looked around, but we couldn't find it, so we had to come back the next day.
Oh, my God.
It was so sad, and, like, we went back the next day, and the they were open, and the guy was like, all right, well, I can't, a service happening at the time, and the guy working the desk was like, so if you, he pointed out where we needed to go, and it was one of the places we were at, but the way they had the rows and the letters lined up, it wasn't in like alphabetical numerical order. It was weird. So we just had to look in that room again. And then finally I just stopped and I saw it. That's how we saw it. And I was just like, I'm glad because I wanted to sit there we sat there for a while. Like it wasn't, you know, if we had just had 15 minutes, I'd been like, that would have been a weird way to...
It would have been like a little quick thing, and then you come back the next day.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, all right, well, it actually, I think, emotionally worked out for the better. But yeah, so that was the last part of the story I'd forgotten, where I was like, oh, this would have been a great story for the security guard to be like, yeah, come on in. You know, I'm like, oh, it's just like a fucking movie. But folks, I'm here to tell you, life is not like a movie. It fucking, you have to go the next day.
That's
a motorcycle that morning, you're going to die that afternoon on it.
That's just... Yeah, that's sad and all of it.
It's
I mean,
layered.
It's so layered.
It's so
it
layered.
Is. You'd finally do the right fucking thing.
I just Jesus love that your Christ. Dad took his shots. He was like, well, go for it. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the part that makes me like, I'm just like, well, this is a guy. Clearly also.
Did he go to college?
No. He went to Vietnam.
Yeah, I just didn't know if like he was getting pulled out of college or like he went right from high school.
I don't know if he went right from high school. Well, he was 47. He would have graduated in 65. I'm sure there was a year or two there. Maybe he did. I that's the part I still haven't, because that part nobody that I've met so far would probably be able to fill in that.
Don't
blank,
worry, there's going
to
be a military buddy that shows up in this movie a little bit down the line. Don't you worry.
I mean,
he's coming.
I checked with VA records here on stuff. I haven't gone to the. I want to see if I can go in person to pull some kind of record on his military stuff, but. I mean, Vietnam was the late 60s, so I can't imagine there was much time there of him being in school.
Yeah.
And when he got back, what he did, because at that point he had gotten married and his wife had died. And then when he had remarried, I believe that's what relocated him down to South Florida. That's the other blank I'm still filling in, how he got to Florida.
Yeah.
Because the way he met my mom.
If you fill in as many blanks as he filled in.
I think you mean to say if I fill in as many blanks as he was firing.
Shot. Yeah.
Yeah. the way him and my mom met was she was a bartender and he just hit on her.
That's amazing.
So that's how charming this guy
was. Let me just tell you something from being a bartender for years. Every dude hits on the bartender and none of them pick them up.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
No, I thought
none
that
of them.
Too. I
was but like, I'll tell you who does is Chucky Oldbrook.
Chuck Oldbrook, that's right.
Shit, he told her, listen, I got an oil derrick. Yeah. And I got.
He's like, you see this arm? Those are veins from my fucking
those
leg.
Those are veins from my leg.
Look at this, girl.
He flexed. He's like, look at those veins. Those are supposed to be somewhere else.
It's my 913 outside.
Yeah.
Well, you you actually had given us some other stories, too,
that are not going to live up to this one.
Not a lot of people have given us a lot of stuff, so it's great that you gave us a bunch of stuff.
You gave it to us.
Yeah, yeah.
But it looks like you have a little deviant streak in you here.
I do.
Would you say now that you know, like, growing up without a father, did you have any father figures growing up?
No,
I want to ask you that.
No, my mom would not remarry, specifically for that.
No coach or teacher or anything like that?
Do I look athletic?
I was going to say.
Yeah, like a chess
player. I was just about to say, could have been a chess team player. You could play tennis. This arm doesn't look tennis, though. But if you had those leg veins, I'll tell you, you'd be kick ass at tennis.
I just, like, the past year started really taking the gym seriously. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I guess, this is where I come from. I can do whatever I want. That's
totally
not true. But, I mean, that is one thing I'll say in regards to my dad, before we jump into the deviance, is my dad, I'm like, well, this adds up to me and my family, because my family doesn't, you know, it's a pretty unorthodox way to get raised. Like, I learned Spanish before I learned English. That was my first language.
Wow,
yeah, because my mom's side of the family, mm-hmm. my grandparents didn't speak English, so I had learned Spanish. And my mom and sister, you know, my sister, like, she went to law school in her 30s. She, like, went to college later.
Your mom did?
No, my sister did.
Oh, your sister did.
Yeah.
For her.
Yeah, so it's like my whole family just plays by their own rules.
Did she know her dad?
Yes.
Okay.
So they kind of play by their own rules. I like to think I did too. And then obviously my dad fits that mold, because my uncle, the one who passed away, he got married and had kids in Dallas. He had what sounds like a pretty more normal life. I'm not going to make an assumption there, but it sounds like it was more like of a regular, you know, societal norms.
Yeah.
I don't know why I couldn't articulate that, but yeah. So I think that part was probably nature and nurture for me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. So the deviant side. So where to start with that? I guess I go to sex parties. Most of my relationships now are non-monogamous.
So, okay, keep going, because then I want to come back and just ask you parties you go to.
So I started going to them about 5 years ago now. Yeah, about a little less than 5 years ago. And at that point, I had started looking into them sooner than that, just online. And I remember I fell down like a real internet rabbit hole about it. And I remember that I found all these different, like, there's like basically social media forums that exist. Like, now there's one called like FetLife, which is like basically a social networking site, but for people who into kink and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very broad term, by the way. But so it can mean different things: BDSM, sex parties, swingers, lifestyle. They call it lifestyle now because swingers has this like 70s mustachioed, you know what I mean?
Fun
like
vibe.
This, well, it just has like old hairy dudes vibe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So lifestyle has more of like a everybody vibe. So I found a party, but parties were like, if you're a single guy, the cheapest ones, like, they go, I think it's like 50-60 bucks for a single guy to get in, but most of them cost like $100 to $200 if you're a single guy and you want to get in.
Yeah.
So at the time,
and then what is it for like a couple?
Sometimes free, sometimes like it just a lot cheaper, probably half the price of that, because they want women there. And then girls, yeah. 99 times out of 100 are free. I've only seen one party that even charged for girls, and for them, I think it was like $20.
Yeah. And are these at clubs or at homes that are rented?
Both.
Or,
both. They're different spaces.
And do you go to connect and fuck later, or are these fuck parties?
Both. They can be both. But mostly you go there to fuck.
Okay.
And as a single guy, you're really rolling the dice on that, because you don't know, like, nobody, that doesn't, just because you're there doesn't mean they're going to fuck.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? So
is this just you're straight up like you, or you wear a mask, or what's going on?
No, it's you. No mask.
I've only seen Eyes Wide Shut. Yeah. I don't know what's going on here.
That's what
I've got, a werewolf mask.
Yeah, I wear a Jason Hockey mask. Yeah. So they know what kind of nerd they're fucking with.
The fuck was that?
Car going by.
Oh. So at the time I couldn't afford to go to one because I was just like broke doing comedy. And I was like, all right. Well, cause it was like one of those, it was that period of my life where like every dollar counted.
Yeah.
And then finally I remember I got a gig on TV that paid very well. And so I was like, all right, I'll use a little money from that to try a party out. And I did. And
it's your first sex party.
First sex party. And went
where
by
you
myself.
Go? Where was it?
It was in the. It was in North Hollywood. It was at this like space. It was not a house. It was like definitely. It was on like a. It wasn't on a big major like a thoroughfare, but a but it's not a side street either. Like a kind of busy street. Mm-hmm. And but it's very discreet. And I remember I got there too early. I learned that there is definitely a time to get there, and I got there too early.
What's his name? Remember he went to the...
Bukkake?
Yeah, and he got there too early, too.
Who,
and he started
who went to one?
What's his name?
He's going to a lot of them.
Oh, man. It's gonna, he's going to kill
his head
us
right now.
I can't.
Oh, you can't say... He
no, we can. No, 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 no. I just can't remember who the hell it was.
He
now.
Went to like the ones
Josh?
That they filmed?
John?
Yeah. And he...
But he went and like participated?
No,
or,
yeah. He went and watched. He was working for... Larry Flint or something at the time. So
magazine.
He went under the Penthouse label and was couldn't just he was just like, what the fuck? But he got there too early on the first one and started asking people, like, hey, is this where the book and they're like, Jesus Christ, shut up. Yeah, yeah.
That is hilarious. So oh he goes
Steve
he went there
for, what the hell
he went
Stephen Randall.
Stephen
oh.
Randall, thank you.
Why I kept yes. seeing Jeff. I
yeah,
kept seeing Jeff.
It.
Yeah.
So he like went for work?
Yeah, it was
well,
sort of a
started. That's how it started. Then he started
you went
going
down
to
an internet wormhole. He never, went down he never participated, but he did go watch.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like a like. Well, I guess I'll ask him next time I see him at the
yeah,
store.
You should.
It was super fascinating because I had a podcast called The Morning After that I hosted with Jake Weissman
yeah.
where we interviewed
mm-hmm.
performers in the adult industry, and a few of them had done it.
Yeah, he said warehouses downtown, and it would just be like this one girl in there and all these guys, and then he went in and did a mock documentary where he was going around interviewing these people, but instead of asking them about this, they would be sitting on the couch,
like
stroking themselves,
off,
getting ready.
Getting hard, yeah.
And
oh,
he's,
that is hilarious.
He's asking them what they think about the Gulf War and shit. So they threw him out and, you know, got a whole thing.
That's fucking hilarious. Oh, my God. I would now have to look this up, too. This is really funny.
I think he's got the raw footage at home.
He probably does.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So
oh,
you
man.
Get there early.
So I got there early, and there were like five people there, all dudes. And I was like, did I make a mistake? Well, there were some women there, but what I learned is the people who get there early, there's like a social element to this for people who really do it, like who go to parties every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I got, you know, so I was kind of just hanging out and I don't.
So a social element, you mean they don't want to just bang. They want to like socialize, hang out,
yeah,
see people.
Yes.
Talk,
yeah. Yeah.
Like
and
that.
Some people they know they've played with the same people before
yeah.
And they know those people and they're not like in a rush for no one's in a rush to fuck. Like, I guess is the which makes sense. I mean, I didn't necessarily I wasn't thinking, oh, I'm going to go in there in 5 minutes. I'm going to be fucking. I'm going to be like, all right. I intentionally also did something where
I got the wrong idea then.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely have the wrong idea.
Well, I think if you think there's going to be a woman just ready to fuck, that's like a gangbang.
I don't think that, but I feel like I'm going to walk in and at least immediately see titties.
If you get there.
Like immediately.
If you get there late enough, you will.
Yeah.
So I got there, paid my admission, and I don't drink, so I was just like hanging out with a bottle
and
of water.
What is it, a warehouse? Like, where are you?
It was like a.
You in the warehouses.
No, yeah,
that's
right?
What I feel like these things take place.
No. It was definitely a place that was like. It wasn't quite a warehouse, but it wasn't just a normal. They do have them at normal houses. I've been to one at this point. I've been to ones that are houses.
Yeah.
But it was like at a place that like clearly could have been used for commercial purposes. But also, if someone just lived there and had converted it, it would check out.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a loft. That's the best way I could. But it had like it had multiple rooms. It had like they had really done their work on this over time and. I was hanging out for maybe like an hour, hour and a half. I talked to a few people just to kind of like I kind of sat close by and people would introduce themselves. They were really nice and they were like, you know, I told them it was my first time there and they're like, all right, well, just like, you know, if you're not comfortable, it's okay, you know, step out. Don't worry about like you don't have to do anything here if someone invites you to like do something. And I was like, okay. And you know, the rules there, the thing about those places is they're very, I don't know if you guys listen to Savage Love at all. Dan Savage talks a lot about this. It's like the women are in charge there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because they want women to feel safe. So it's really, you know, they're the ones who kind of dictate how things go. And after about like, I don't know, 2 hours of hanging out, there was I remember people started going to different rooms and hooking up and stuff. And some were private rooms where they closed. You couldn't go in. And some were doing it in public because they wanted to be watched. And then this couple, this woman was like, well, she invited me and the husband wanted to watch.
Is there a element of these places that people want to be with a newbie or a virgin or like a sex room?
You know,
like,
are you exotic?
I thought about that down the there. I thought about that down the line, but I don't think that couple, that wasn't the same couple I had that conversation with. So I don't know if they didn't know that.
Gotcha.
I didn't tell them that it was my first time there.
But this woman, is she attractive?
Very.
Wants to fuck you,
mm-hmm.
and her husband wants you to fuck her, but he doesn't want to fuck her with you.
He joined in eventually on the other side of the of the body. Put it that way.
And you're cool with that?
Yeah, yeah.
Ever done that before?
Yes,
you had.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm not uncomfortable by any of that. And by the way, just to fast forward a little, when I started dating after that, it like my last girlfriend. Luckily, she publicly is like very open about that stuff, about being polyamorous and like non-monogamous and stuff. And
I just hear more. We have comedians. I just keep hearing more and more and more of this lately. Like,
yeah,
I guess it's always been a thing, and maybe it's just people are getting more comfortable with it. Maybe
I don't think it's always been a thing.
No?
I think more recently it's become a more normalized,
like a sexual revolution.
Yeah,
well, internet has exposed everything. But
right.
I think
globally.
That like what you're talking about is a way more polyamorous and. Than what some other people have talked about, where they're like, yeah, and they're like, you know, I just don't date exclusively, and I'm like, oh yeah,
now
you mean like hooking up in your 20s,
right?
Exactly. But I
yeah,
feel
no.
like a lot of people are saying they're like, well, I'm poly, and you're like, what do you mean?
What
you
does
just
that mean?
Hook
yeah.
up? Well,
you're
eventually
single.
I want to be. Yeah, exactly.
There's a different. You know what? There's a spectrum on that too, because it's like mostly what it means is because people also say poly. They're like, is that the same thing as an open relationship? Not necessarily, because an open relationship could be a don't ask, don't tell thing. And some I know comics who have that because they just go on the road a lot. They kind of have this like agreement with their girlfriends and or boyfriends. And so poly could also mean having multiple partners.
Yeah.
Poly could also mean just like non-monogamy, where it's the you both.
A lot of times someone's just in college, it means poly sci.
Yeah. Jeez. Oh, man.
So. Was this the first time, this moment, was this the first time you had fucked a married woman with her husband or while her husband watched?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. After that, I've done a couple different things like on...
I see your eyebrows raising.
Yeah.
Did you have performance anxiety? I mean, you have a show called that.
I have a show called that.
That's a lot of pressure, don't you think?
I like watching and being watched.
Yeah.
It's not that... Yeah, I don't have any... My... Like, even in relationships... I don't have like a physical jealousy issue. I like watching I've had both kinds of threesomes, and like usually I tend to date girls who like to watch me with other girls,
mm-hmm.
and I also date girls who I like to watch with other guys.
Okay,
got it.
So neither are. Did you notice the sun just came
yeah,
in?
Yeah, totally.
Totally the story. So I don't think that's a coincidence.
That's Chuck Bieland. That's my son right there.
Yeah. it's not something I get hung up about.
Did you talk to the guy at all while this was all going on?
No, he was kind of he was encouraging her, though.
Is he instructing you at all, telling you do this, do
no.
that?
Mm-mm. No. He was just watching. And that is more often than not what happens. They usually don't. He would just say like, oh, that's so hot to his wife. And like, I like watching you do that. And, you know, he's a little like dirty talk.
Yeah.
And after that, I was like, oh, okay. So this is definitely something I'm very interested in doing again. And I didn't do it for a long time. It took about another year, because I was just started eventually when I started making more money and I was able to afford it. And I liked going on my own. At the time, I was like, well, I'm single and I think I want to keep this. Was like a very good way of doing comedy, not being sexually frustrated. And don't get me wrong, I was still like hooking up here and there or like and dating, but nothing stuck, because I was like, prior to that, when I was in relationships, I had never felt like I was like I could always feel this antsiness, not like a desire to cheat necessarily, but like something was off about it. And I remember I had one girlfriend who just had no interest in like threesomes or any of those kinds of things. She saw it all as cheating, and you know, and so for a while I thought that I'm like, well, then I guess this is just, I don't know, am I going to be alone for a long time, or am I just going to be like pretending to be happy in a monogamous relationship? And I'm. For what it's worth, also, I'm still figuring that out. I think it's like the terms like poly and non-monogamous, you can use it to identify yourself as that type of person. And I used to really stick to that more, but I realized that's more how you identify the relationship. Yeah, like, right. It's more about that relationship. That relationship is poly. That relationship is non-monogamous.
Do you think there's a person out there for you where at any point in your life you might go, this is the one and that's it and I'm done with everything else?
I don't. Here's the thing.
Are you open to that?
I mean, I just don't think, like, the way I look at things, I think, like, terms like the one and right. love of your life, I think those are really unfair assignments. Like, I just don't like using those terms. I just see it as like, well, I can see myself spending a lot of time with this person. I can see 10 years from now, I can see 20 years from now, but it might not happen that way. I experienced that in my last relationship. I was very happy. I mean, that's
and how long were you guys together?
A year. Yeah.
Just you two.
No, we were in okay. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was staying. I just mean like, I was with this person. We were in a polyamorous thing and we were very, you know,
So would there be times where you'd be like, hey, what's up? You want to go to a movie night? It's like, nah, I'm going out with Eric.
No, it didn't. It doesn't work that way. You identify as like primary partners. And then if someone else enters the fold, you are very specific. She also didn't. She's bisexual, and she only wanted to date other women. She actually didn't want to date other guys, which doesn't make it any different in terms of like there's still an emotional connection
of course,
that you're dealing
yeah.
with. Because people will write that off as like, well, that's not a threat. And
yeah.
I'm like, okay. So
you guys are shopping again.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. What was? Oh, the question was in terms of like with that kind of stuff. When you're in any kind of open relationship or a non-monogamous relationship, you have to overly communicate, like to the point where you're almost exhausted
sure.
by it. But
yeah.
it's worth it because then you get, there's no reason to assume or have any kind of presumptions.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah.
if it's not working, it's just not working.
Right.
It's not because someone's leaving something out or something's missing because everything's on the table.
Right, right. Yeah, it's natural causes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So in doing this stuff, like searching out things online and stuff, have anything ever gone awry?
Yeah, I've definitely had a few. Like one thing I did for a little while was some Craigslist casual encounters
mm-hmm.
Because in LA it's a big enough city that there's like a you can find it. I think like I don't know. I can't speak to like I can't imagine people in like a small town in Montana using casual encounters. Like there's just too
right.
much
too
much
yeah.
overlap. So I. The first few times I tried it went really well, like too well. I was almost like, oh, it's that easy. And the very first time I did it, I was meeting a woman and I freaked out and I texted a friend the address that I was going to because I was like, if you don't hear from me in the next 2 hours, call the cops and send him to this address.
Yeah.
And he was like, why? And I was like, I'll tell you afterwards because I was just too self-conscious.
I wish the cops showed up after 2.5 hours and you just having like the best sex of your life.
And I walked in. I'm like, you guys, I was so close to finishing. What the fuck? Get out of here. And I texted him later and told him what it was. But I'd done a few casual encounters. And what I learned was that I group sex scenarios like with threesomes. I've had more than three at a time and
you've had more than three at a time?
Well, like including myself.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done like couple swaps and I've been in full on orgies.
How does a couple are you just banging on some like switch?
you don't even switch out. You just start with the other partner and then
oh, okay.
And then yeah,
it's so crazy.
Yeah. I mean, all these people make me feel like a virgin.
Yeah.
Well, it's like it's a thing that give it a if you you can try it and not like it. Also, that's the thing.
Sure.
It's like, but I think a lot
of
people,
like
that's well, the way you said that just it's like because I think a lot of people also I don't know if that's what you mean by this, but like some people are worried that they might like it too much and get too into it.
No.
You know, it's almost like a thing that they have to keep at bay or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's just an untested theory. But for me, I tried a few casual encounters where I definitely got catfished.
You did?
Oh, yeah, for sure. There was one, and for a while I'd stopped doing, like, looking for ads where it's just single women because I was like, what? Clearly, the emails would be like, eventually be like, okay, listen, I'm a guy. If you come over, though, a mouth is a mouth. Like,
mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? Thanks, but no thanks. And, so eventually I would just try couples because I was like, they were always real. It never ended up being like a guy being like, well, my wife's not here, you know, but we can, you know, because I'm not bisexual. I don't mind if a guy's there. Swords can cross. It happens. It's part of the business.
business.
You got to be comfortable with that. But it's, you know, it's like an action versus desire thing.
Sure.
And so I answered an ad in Burbank, got there, got to the hotel. The guy answers completely naked, and it was just a couple. The whole thing was he wanted to watch his girlfriend get fucked by another guy. And he goes, come on in. He goes, and the shower was running. He goes, she's in the shower. Just be a minute. And I was like, okay. So I start getting undressed, and the guy goes, he just gets down on his knees right in front of me. I was like, whoa, whoa. I'm like, I thought this was the thing you wanted me to watch. And he goes, no, it's okay. And I was like, what? It's not.
He's made that decision.
It's so funny. Like, as if I was just like, oh, yeah, okay, well, if you put it that way, you know. And I was like, no, thanks. And he goes, and he stands up, and I go, let's just wait till he.
Is it big dude? Are you nervous? Like,
I did get a little nervous. And he wasn't like a big dude. He was my height, but he definitely goes to the gym a lot more than I do.
Takes it more seriously.
So he just stands up and says, well, she wants to see that too. And I'm like, well, where is she? Let's have a right. Fucking meeting about this. And he goes, oh, it's just me. And I was like, all right, well, I'm gonna go. He just sits on the bed watching me get dressed and he goes, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And
dude.
And he goes, hey, look, man, I suck real good dick. And I was like, buddy, I don't fucking doubt that for a second. And,
I'll bet you do, bro.
And I get down to my car. I leave. I also was like ready at any second. I was very close to the door as I was getting dressed so I could at least open the door if something.
Yeah.
Most of the time with this kind of stuff, that's not how it works. It's not like even if it's a catfish, it's not a. But I did the same thing. I texted at the time I was in a relationship, I texted my girlfriend. I said, hey, this is the address of where I'm going. That was the rule with her, where she was like, if you ever go off, and because she also liked hearing about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'd come back and tell her afterwards what happened, and that would, you know. And so I get to my car. He emailed me again from the Craigslist email and said he would give me $100.
Holy
and
shit.
I was like, I drove. I was in a, by the way, this is the thing I was most furious about. My life could have been in danger, and all I thought was, I drove from West Hollywood to Burbank for this shit.
Right, yeah.
I was furious about the geography of the whole thing.
You're like, well, that $100, I can have that sex party.
That's a bad. When I drove home, I was like, well, that's an ego boost that guy thought my dick pic was good enough. That
for
the $100. Yeah, man. I was like, I don't need to watch porn anymore. I just need to pull up this email to jerk off. And then, I mean, but it's not just Craigslist where that happens. I had like another, like, so one thing that happens when you start talking about open relationships and this kind of stuff, it shows is occasionally you'll get approached by a couple. And that happened once when I was in Atlanta, where I will be again at the Laughing
Atlanta
Skull.
Atlanta seems to be like a very swingers area. I feel like I hear it a lot in Atlanta.
This couple was like staying at the same. Well, they didn't approach me at the show. They approached me afterwards. I was staying at the hotel I was staying at down the street. I was eating at their like downstairs. Mm-hmm. They saw me there and they were getting a drink, and they approached me and were like, you know, they were like being very complimentary initially just about my set and stuff. And then they were like, well, do you want to come up to our room? The woman saw her. She went to the bathroom, and then he was like, hey, you want to come up? She's really into you. And I knew right then. I'm like, okay, so they were into the bit I was telling. And we get upstairs, and I wasn't sure what was going to happen because the dude was also a little off. I got the vibe he was on something at mm-hmm. that point. And but everybody was still coherent. The conversations were coherent. I felt, you know, I was like, well, I could just go to my room at any point. At that point, I'd done enough of this stuff where I was like, I can just leave and go to my room. I know saying no is like an option.
And basically by you saying that, like, the people that are most comfortable or do this the most are comfortable enough to know, like, him saying like, hey, dude, my chick's into you, you know, sounds like someone who's had experience in it. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So that exactly. I was like, well, they're comfortable enough. And so I get up there and nobody had condoms, so I was like, well, what do we do at this point? Do you just want her to watch her go down on me? Do you want me to go down on her? Like, or are you going to have sex with her and she'll just go down on me? Whatever. And he said, well, no, also, I don't have condoms for myself. We're not a couple. And I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, they're not even a couple.
I freaked the fuck out because I was like, what does that mean? What the fuck does that mean? You know what I mean? Like, I thought I was going to turn around and there was going to be like three people at the door.
Yeah.
And I was going to be like part of a ritual. I don't know what was going
to happen.
When those moments do go a little wrong, you do go into like fight or flight mode a little. And I was like, wait, what does that mean?
You Chuck Yelsberg kick? Yeah. He got us into a plot of land in San Antonio.
These fucking callbacks. Yeah, that's exactly. No, you're. Yeah, they were like, because we're here to collect. He explained that they were like, he's from out of town. And I asked her, I'm like, are you an escort? And she got offended. She was like, no. And I was like, okay, look, we're in a pretty fucking weird situation here. No one has the right to be offended right now.
Yeah.
And he said, no, I'm from out of town, but we've known each other for a long time. So when we meet up, we like hook up. And I'm like, wow, you guys have an awesome way of fucking playing catch up. And eventually I'm like, you know, I'm going to go. I didn't say that I got uncomfortable. I said, I'm going to go. And because I could have said, well, I'll go pick up condoms or something, you know. But they were like, all right, yeah. I think the wind kind of got taken out of everyone's sails. But at the very end, she asks him, she goes, well, when did you last get tested? Are you clean? And he just goes, of course I'm clean. I'm a Virgo.
Back to the horse.
I was like, this is a perfect way to cap this podcast. We start and end at the same horse.
Yeah, well said, done, young man.
Thank you. I almost fainted when I heard that, by the way. I like, was
what does
like,
that even mean?
Yeah, that's what
Nothing.
I was like, what?
Means and, you're definitely getting an
and
STD.
She looked at me. She's like, what? Like you heard that, right? You know, right, she gave me this look.
I'm a Virgo.
And I just was like, wait, you used your astrological sign to say you don't have an STD. I asked it a little more like straightforward. He just goes, yeah. You know, like I was the fucking weirdo in this conversation. And I was just so glad I heard that because I was like, this guy clearly uses that for like everything. He goes to a fucking doctor's office. They're like, well, you have herpes. He's like, you can't trust the Pisces. You know, like that's a real fucking.
It's your fucking, totally. It's your dad's sterility notice for him. That's what he uses. Yeah, that's what he uses.
That's a typical Virgo,
he's like,
by
I'm
the way. The Virgos
it.
Are like, we're clean.
We're clean. Everybody knows that.
Well, this has been a lot of fucking fun,
dude.
What a
so
great story,
sharing,
by the way. Yeah,
thank you
I'm
so
happy
much.
For you. I'm glad that this is all opening up for you.
Thanks,
and you're
Ryan.
Able
thank
to
you.
Learn so much.
And
that's
this is,
great.
By the way, the first time I've told it. I was just telling Jay this off air. Like, this is the first time I've told this long form on
well,
the
thank
air.
You for
yes.
sharing
thank
it, man.
You guys
no, that's
for having
not
me
easy.
To, yeah, it was. But it was nice to know that I could do it. This was like a perfect space for it. I felt like.
Yeah,
so
for
thank
sure.
You, thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah, man. Thank you for being here. And will you one more time plug your social media, your dates, anything you'd like?
Yes, yes. At Eli Olsberg, and I'll be at the Laughing Skull Comedy Festival in Atlanta, April 26th to the 29th. And Performance Anxiety is usually the second Tuesday of every month at the Pleasure Chest in West Hollywood.
All right.
Awesome, buddy. Great to have you on. As always, Jay Larson Comedy. Jay Larson Comedy on all social media.
RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.